but the place had never been used. There were no bedrolls, no sleeping children. What was on the shelf instead was the war surplus flown back 50 years earlier from the old U.S. bomber bases in Europe. Aircrew requirements. Hundreds and hundreds of bricks of white powder, wrapped smooth and tight in yellowing glass scene, each packet printed with the crown device, the headband, the 3 points, the 3 balls representing jewels. A registered trademark, presumably, for a now defunct but once entirely legitimate and government-contracted outfit called Crown Laboratories, whoever and wherever they had been. Peterson said,
"I don't believe it."
The packs looked to be stacked 10 high and 10 deep, in groups of 100, and there were maybe 150 groups along the whole length of the shelf, a total of 15,000, minus those already removed. The stack was a little depleted at the near end. It looked like a brick wall in the process of patient demolition. Holland asked,
"Is this 40 tons?
"Nah," Reacher said, "not even close. This is only about a third of it. There should be another 2 stacks just like this."
"How many packs in 40 tons? Peterson asked.
"Nearly 45,000.
"That's insane. That's $45 billion in street value.
Your granddaddy's tax dollars at work."
"What was it for?"
"World War II aircrew," Reacher said. "Bombers, mostly. None of us have any idea what that war was like for them. Toward the end, they were flying 12-hour trips, sometimes more, Berlin and back, deep into Germany, day after day after day. Every trip, they were doing stuff that had never been done before in terms of precision and endurance. And they were in mortal danger every single minute, every second. Casualties were terrible. They would have been permanently terrified and demoralized, except they were always too exhausted to think. Pep pills were the only way to keep them in the air."
"These aren't pills."
"Delivery method was up to the medical officers. Some made it up into pills. Some preferred drinking it, dissolved in water. Some recommended inhaling it. Some liked suppositories. Probably some prescribed all 4 ways at once."
"I had no idea."
"It was general issue, like boots or ammunition, like food."
"Can't have been good for them."
"Some of the planes had little wires soldered near the end of the throttle travel, the last quarter inch. War boost, it was called. If you needed it, you hauled the throttle back and busted the wire and got maximum power. It strained the engine, which wasn't good, but it saved your life, which was good. Same exact principle with the dope."
"How much did they get through?"
"Way more than we can guess. The Air Force in Europe was hundreds of thousands strong back then, and demand was pretty strong, too. It was a tough gig. I'm sure I would have snorted my body weight before my first tour was half done."
"And this much was left over?"
"This could have been a month's supply. Suddenly not needed anymore. Shutting down production was pretty haphazard at the end."
"Why is it here?"
"Couldn't just junk it. Couldn't sell it. Certainly couldn't burn it. The whole of Europe would have gotten high as kites off the smoke." They went quiet, just stared. Then Holland said, "Let's find the rest." The rest was shared between the next 2 tunnels to the left. The same 100-foot shelves, the same meticulous stacks of packets, the same dull flashlight reflections off the yellowed glassine. A full 15,000 bricks in the second tunnel, another full 15,000 in the third. Holland dropped to his knees, clenched his fists, smiled wide.
"Close to 90,000 pounds, all told," he said. The damn DEA will have to listen to us now. This has got to be the biggest drug bust in history. And we did it. Little old us, the Bolton PD in South Dakota. We're going to be famous. We're going to be legends. No more poor relations. The damn prison staff can kiss my ass. Congratulations, Reacher said. Thank you. But it's not all good. Plato found it a year before you did.
How?
Rumor and logic, I guess. He knew it had been used in the war, and he knew there was likely to be surplus stock somewhere, so he tracked it down. He's probably got guys in the Air Force. That's probably why we found the cargo manifest. It was on top of a pile somewhere because someone else had been looking for it already. Peterson said, I can't believe the bikers left it all sitting here. The temptation to take some with them must have been huge. Reacher said, I get the impression that if Plato tells you to leave something, you leave it. He shuffled a little farther into the tunnel, picturing a long line of sweating men 50 years ago, passing the 2-pound packets hand to hand to hand, and then stacking them neatly like craftsmen. Probably the shortest guys had been detailed for the work. He didn't know what the Air Force's height requirement had been 50 years earlier, but probably some of the guys had been standing straight, and some of them hadn't. They had probably roped the packs down the ventilation tubes in kit bags, 5 or 10 at a time, maybe more. Trestles and pulleys on the surface, some kind of an improvised system. Too laborious to carry them all down the stairs one by one. Probably the bikers had brought them back up the same way. The fact that the ventilation pipes were unfinished and open at both ends must have been too obvious to ignore. He shuffled a little farther in and made another discovery. There was a lateral link feeding sideways off the main tunnel, like part of a circle's circumference butting up against its radius. He squeezed down it and came out in the next tunnel along. He shuffled deeper in and found 2 more lateral links, one to the left, one to the right. The whole place was a warren, a maze. There was a total of 8 spokes and 3 separate rings. Each ring had its own curved shelf. Lots more linear feet for sleeping children. Lots of corners. Some turned only left, some turned only right. There were no 4-way junctions. Everything was a T, upright at the far end of the spokes, rotated randomly left or right at the other turns. A bizarre layout. The plan view on the blueprint must have looked like a Celtic brooch. Maybe there had been more construction compromises than just the ceiling height. Possibly the whole thing was supposed to be like an odd, truncated underground version of the Pentagon itself, but rounded off, not angular, and with some of the links between rings and spokes not made.